Lesson for the late Parshas Vayetze. In this Parsha, we will be learning together a lesson from the heart, which is, why am I in yeshiva? / Leiva Torah. Why am I here? And I think this message will, as usual, I hope, resonate not only with the yeshiva bachrim, but resonate with anybody that's listening in any stage of the life that they may be in. The pasuk starts Vayetze. Those that know my track record, I haven't counted it, but a lot of times I can't move past the first pasuk. If you were to count, go through lessons from the lay for the last few years, probably a lot of it has been on the first pasuk. I will admit that the first pasuk is Vayetze Yaakov mi'be'er sheva vayelech harana. So Rashi says an obvious question: Vayetze lo hayatzarch lichtov ela vayelech Yaakov harana. Obviously, if someone's going somewhere, they came from somewhere. Who cares where it came from? Why does it have to say that? Rashi says, a perish lama. So why is this? Hizkir yitziyaso. Ella magid gajasesh yitziyaso tzadik min amakam. When a righteous person leaves a place, also roshem. It makes a roshem. It makes an important impression. Shebizman shet tzadik ba'ir. When the tzadik is in the ear, what happens? Great things happen. Hu hada, hu ziva. He's the splendor. Hu hadara. He's the grandeur. Yatsa misham. He leaves panoda. Everything leaves that place, and that's why it says that he left. So he left. So too, you will find later. In your review, Rashi says, "V'chein v'teitzei min ha'makom." It says that they left this place. Ha'omer bin Naomi v'Rut. When they left the place, things changed a lot, as it says in the book of Ruth. Okay, so one perush is that when you leave a certain place, so the roshem, the person, right, Mahavdil afti adolas v'ntar l'tuma, that famous line, Elvis has left the building. Right, something happened here when somebody leaves. Right, a person leaves as a roshem when someone leaves the town. When somebody, there's a lot of times when people make aliyah, the rabbi will make a speech. Oh, they made an indelible impression. But when they on this community, but when they come to, okay, yeah, that's one idea. But I'd like to expand the idea, and that's based on a beautiful Beis Halevi in the parasha. The Beis Halevi, who you should know, but was Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, not the one that you might think of, the Rav, but the Rav's great-grandfather. The Rav's great-grandfather, who of course he's named for, and who the whose father was Rav Yitzhak Zev, who the Brisker Rav was named for. The Beis Halevi says the following point. Vayetze Yaakov, what we saw, the Perush of Rashi, he says that's great. Od yesh lomar, dechol adam hayotzim yamakom lamakom, anybody who leaves a place and goes to a place, yesh vazeh ofanim o deikar tachlato, hu hayitziya mimakom arishon mimakom eizitziba. There's a reason why you're leaving the place that you were, and there's a reason why you're going to the place that you're going to be. And the Torah wanted to teach us. Sometimes the ikar is the yitzia. I have to go because I have to go do something. It's not the fact that I'm leaving the place. No, this was different over here. So v'zeh ikar tachas kavanas v'helicha. But Yaakov, he had two reasons why he had to leave the place that he went. This is interesting. The ikar kavanas v'helicha l'kayim mitzvahs kibud avim. He was listening to kibud avim. Why? The Rivka, his mommy, said, Amrlo, hinei esav achicha mitnachem lacha. He wants to kill you, laharogcha. This whole thing we did in last week's parasha, you know, he knew what happened, and sa'akah gedoyla. He screamed a big scream, and now he wants to kill you. So you know, you better be leaving. Kum barach elavan, get out of here. To ikka konato hu shelo, he had to leave Be'er Sheva because he couldn't be there anymore. Malkum she'esav sham v'ikar bazeh yitzia. The whole reason is I had to leave this place, not because I needed to go to another place. I needed to go anywhere. Didn't matter where I went. I just had to get out of here. However, Uli Yitzchak, but he didn't tell you, this wasn't the reason why Yitzchak sent them to go. Lo amra kol zot, rak shelo yikach isha mimvedot kanan. He said, you dafka have to leave this place to go to that place, because I don't want you to take somebody from this place, because of yichas reasons. Mimvedot lovan. So he says, go to the place of Mimvedot lovan. Kaim ve Yaakov kiyem divrei shenehem. And he did what he was told to do. This is very interesting. He said that there was a reason for the Yitzia And there was a reason for the place that he was going. Right? He had two reasons. He was really leaving. It appears he was going to his place for two reasons. It wasn't really mean that. He was leaving for a reason, and he was going to the specific place for a reason. He was following his mother's orders to leave, which obviously he would have realized quite quickly, but maybe it was too late, because he was going to die if he stayed in the place, so he had to leave that place. But also he had to leave the place because his father said, I want you to go to a certain place to find yourself a woman. And he continues on another mahalach, which I don't want to use, which is a beautiful mahalach, but you want to see inside the Beis HaLevi. He goes on a mahalach of, we have a concept called Maisa Ovo, Siman Labanim. So he says that, not just that, the Yaakov who Siman Labanim Begolos. And there's a reason, the Yitzia, that we had to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Mitzrayim and go into Golos, was for a reason. And there was a Yitzia from Eretz Yisrael. The Yitzia was because of the Averis we were doing, and he couldn't stand us anymore, and there was a reason why. But that's not the mahalach I want to go on. I'm going to go to the mahalach that's used by the Stipler Gaon. The famous Stipler, the Birchas Peretz, writes the following beautiful idea. And this really applies to us. He said there are two reasons why a Talmud goes to yeshiva. Right? He wasn't talking in those days about Leva Torah. Leva Torah was not yet invented in the time of the Stipler. So he was talking about, you know, whatever. Maybe the Punovich. And he said like this. The reason why you go to the yeshiva is to gain Torah knowledge. To gain spiritual influence. To gain good midos. To become a better person. You go to learn. But you're not only going to learn. That's not the only reason why you go to yeshiva. You go to yeshiva to learn, to become a better person, to do those type of things. And you leave the place where you came from. We're not going to go around the room now and ask everybody. So that you are away from potential negative influences that were in the place that you were. Now, even if you're going to tell me, well, yeah, but I'm in this, we're not going to give names. I, from this place, and in this place, everything's always gotten, everything's amazing, spiritually, it's amazing, everything's amazing. Even if you say that, says the Stipler, still being in yeshiva, you are surrounded by tremendous positive pressure, positive aura of spirituality. But in our case, I think we could, I hope, clearly say that the places that we came from, wherever they might be, are not places that had always the best influences. Maybe they were our actual friends, and this was a formative year where some of your friends literally broke off, and some went to Israel, and some went to college, and some are reporting already back to you via their social media. They don't even have to report back to you in a physical way, but you see by their pictures spiritually what's happened to them already. Or maybe friends from last year. And then you hopefully know what you're accomplishing. But again, the concept is that you're here in yeshiva to accomplish two things. So that when you go back to wherever you're going, and this is a, I hope, a unique yeshiva, we only want you to be here for 1 year, two, right? That's the only thing that we really want, right? Right? That's the only thing. And after, okay, if you want to stay after the 2 years, okay, we can have a program for you. Maybe you want to go, no, I but we only want you to stay for 1 year, too. So that's the concept over here. We know that you're going to go somewhere else. The question is, how are you going to react? How are you going to go to that second place? How are you going to take what you took here? Now, this is interesting. It's a beautiful sefer. If you don't have this, it's an easy sefer to learn. It's a beautiful sefer. I think it's called Growth Through Torah, Rabbi Pliskin sefer. Ah, this is a beautiful sefer. So Rabbi Pliskin says that this applies even more, and I think now this is even getting closer to us, is that that spiritual influence is very easy to work on, but it's all based on expectations. Now, I don't know, maybe you were asked this question, I don't think this is a fair question to ask, you know, what do you expect to accomplish in yeshiva this year? You know, this is if you ever will be, I'll give you a hint to a job interview. So job interview often ask these type of questions. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, right? And what's the answer? In your seat, sir. I want to take over your position. Get out. No, but the concept is that where do you see yourself? What do you put? So if I were to ask you, where do you see yourself? You know, some maybe it's more of a seminary thing. They say, you know, I want you to write a letter. Write a letter. I'm going to mail it to yourself of what you're going. I think we do it here in yeshiva. Okay. Like a seminary. So, right? So you write, where are you going to see yourself? And then you read the letter. Now Rosh Hashanah comes next year, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I wrote that about myself. Yeah, that's right. What are your expectations? If you actually came in with an expectation that said, I want to have positive spiritual influence, that's great. But says Rav Pliskin, what happens sometimes is that we have the wrong expectation. And we say, well, I've been learning Gemara now for, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and it really didn't speak to me. This is it. My year in Israel now? Oh, baby. That's it. This is when I'm going to love Gemara. I'm going to have that Rebbe who's going to turn me on, and everything's going to be amazing, and I'm going to everything's going to be great. This is the year that I'm going to love Halacha. This is the year that I'm going to think that, you know, I'm going to stop saying that term, Halacha's stupid, right? This is it. And then when you don't reach that point, or you still can't read a piece of Gemara and it's November, and you say, I give up. I give up. That's it. I'm done. Says Rav Pliskin, no. That's what the stifler was saying. There's another reason why you're here. There's still the spiritual interest. What about working on your good meals? What about making a plan because you're going to university next year, 2 years? What is going to happen? So that's where he tells this wonderful, amazing story. I love the story, such a beautiful story about the great tzaddik Rav Shadron. Rav Shadron was called the Maggid of Yerushalayim. Right? He'd have great stories. Rabbi Kron has the great books on his stories. He was a Maggid. He would go around. So he tells the following story. He goes into a certain shul in Yerushalayim, and I can picture this. I think it was last week I found myself in Yerushalayim. And it was mincha time, so I had to go chapa minyan. So my wife said, we're in Yerushalayim, it shouldn't be that hard. So the location we were, it was not a location I knew. It was a little bit too far to go to the Kotel, which I think they have a minyan. So I had to find a minyan. So I just walked a block. I figure you walk a block and you just ask a guy with a yarmulke. And I go, Slika, Yeshika minyan le minka? And he looked at me and he's like, I'm staying at the Waldorf, dude. I'm also looking for a minyan. You know, there's some guy from Lakewood. So that didn't work. That was a bad one. So I asked another guy, and he also didn't understand what he was saying. He was Sephardi. And I said, I'm like, oh, dude, what are you saying about? So fine, he takes it. So I can imagine going into this. We went into this alleyway, and all of a sudden, oh, Yitzchak, the most gorgeous shul you've ever seen. Fine. Happened to be there was no minion there. But fine. So, fine. We ran to find another minion we found. Anyway, so I imagine this sight. He walks in, gets the mincha on time, and there's a guy sitting there and learning. And he's got a Gemara open, and he's going over the Gemara over again. Over. Here's the guy going over the Gemara. Except, he can tell by the way he's reading Gemara, he has absolutely no idea what he's reading. It's like reading another foreign language. He's reading it, it doesn't make any sense what he's saying. He could see because he's not stopping in the right places. So he goes up to the guy, he feels bad for him, and he says, Shalom Aleichem. He says, Shalom Aleichem. He recognizes who it is. He says, I know what you're going to ask me. What am I bothering for? Why am I reading Gemara? What's the point? He says, I don't understand a word I'm saying. I can't. I tried. It doesn't work. Maybe this is before Archskull time, yeah. He says, I don't understand anything I'm reading. But he says, you know, if you're a real patriot to your country, if you're real interested in the country that you're in, so you'll know the generals, you'll know who's in charge. Right? You might not understand the war strategy. You don't understand how the army and the navy work together, and that you don't understand all that. But you know the generals. So he says, I read Gemara for one reason. I want to know God's generals. I want to know the names of these generals. I want to know who Rav Ashi was. I want to know who Rabbi Yochanan was. I want to know who Reish Lakish was. I want to know who these people were. I need to know the generals. And if I can't learn, so all I do is read Gemara, and I just, what do I always, anybody can recognize that. Oh, I got it. Okay. Amar of Yitzchak. I got that. Right? So I want to know the generals. So he just reads through Gemara and just says that. And to him, Rav Shadron says, that was an accomplishment. Because that's what his expectation was. I'm not saying that you shouldn't accomplish l'chas v'shalom. But sometimes your expectations are so high that you quit. Because you say, I can't, it's not working. Right, you think that like Eretz Yisrael, it does, it's true. Avir Eretz Yisrael is special, but it doesn't have this magic potion. Yeshiva Leva Torah, excuse me for saying this, I know it's recruiting season, I shouldn't say this. We don't have this magic potion that makes everybody love Torah all of a sudden. Okay, that's it, everybody leave. No, right? You don't have that, right? Now, unless if you're in another shir besides mine, so you're not always going to be so inspired, right? It's not so easy. Right? And you expect him, you know, you're sitting with your legs on the table. Okay, Rabbi, let's go. Inspire me. That's what your job is. And he said, no, I quit. He didn't do it. I tell the story. It's not a good story to tell, but I love to tell the story about the guy who got inspired by one of the lessons from the Levin. He comes up and he goes, Rebbe, I agree with you. So how do I do it? How do I get inspired? It was something about tefillah. So I said to him, what do you mean? He goes, I don't feel it. I don't feel it in davening. So I said to him, you're coming to Minyan every morning? He says, no, I don't go to Minyan. So I said, okay, let's start with that. So he says, okay, I'm going to start to come to Minyan. So he starts to come to Minyan, and I explained to him my my two cents about, you know, what his expectations have been. I explained to him about buying a sitter that has English in it, read the English only, all my little shtickim. So he comes to me, and he's after a week, and I said, so new? He said, sorry, I'm done. I said, what do you mean you're done? He goes, I did it for like 4 days. I woke up every morning for Minyan. I didn't feel anything. I'm done. I go, that's it? That's what you gave God 4 days? That's it? He says, yeah, I'm done. That's a pretty bad expectation. That's not what it's about. Do you understand that maybe you're going in for one thing and you're getting something else? Do you understand that tefillah is about that? That maybe you're asking for grandma to have a refuah shleima, and unfortunately she doesn't, but that tefillah was moved for something else, or it helped you in this way? Have you never gone to a place and thought you were expecting one thing, and you come out with something even stronger? Some guy went on, good, he's not here, he went on Shabbos, Shabbaton, went somewhere for Shabbos. We're going to know who it is, doesn't matter, right? But he said something really, I liked what he said. He said he went to a kibbutz for Shabbos. So I said, oh, very nice. How was that experience? He said, the experience made me want to move to Israel and never want to move to a kibbutz, right? So he went in thinking, oh, kibbutz, good. Right? It made him love Israel because the people love so much. But he said he couldn't believe the doctor, who's one of the top doctors in Israel that's making, you know, whatever, hundreds of thousands of shekel, and has to give it all back to the kibbutz because everybody splits money there, right? So this guy comes back with $500,000 every year, and now the kibbutz gets all the money because that's the way it works in this kibbutz. But imagine he went with an but now I want to move to Israel. That's just one example, of course. How often do we do that? Do we think one thing and say, well, I'm at, and turns out to be something else? Got to give ourselves credit. Sometimes an experience that we go into, right? We always say this, right? We have lower expectations. So sometimes that's good, because that leads us to say, wow, I actually didn't even, and then, it was great. You have this ridiculously high, you come into the year in Israel and say, this is good. If I don't finish Shas by the end of the year, I'm not going to be firm anymore. What? It's not going to be because I'm going to X University. That's not why I'm. Recognize that another reason is that the spiritual influence that you'll have are going to help you fight the non-spiritual influences of wherever you'll be going in life. And the various encounters, unfortunately, that you'll have in life, which will be difficult. I'll tell you a personal story. When I graduated college, when I graduated YU, I had the great zchus of being in the shir of Aaron Salvechik. So Rav Aaron was, he doesn't need my haskama, but he was a very, very smart man, and particular to me. He knew I was graduating, and he called me over, and he said, no, Dov, come over here. He says, what are you doing next year? He's very into having a parnasa. It's very, very important to him. He always would stop shir. Unfortunately, for the rest of the shir, I was the only person, an undergraduate. I was the only one going to college. So he would often stop the shir at like 2:30 and say, Dov has to go to shir. I have to go to shir. So he says, we have to daven mincha now. Because, yeah, and I felt terrible. Everybody else was like, thanks a lot. This guy owned a travel agency. This was like 40-year-old man. And I'm sorry, I'm chatasi ani maskir. I would often lie to him. No, I don't have class until 4 o'clock. It's fine. Then he would go for another half. It was great. So I missed a lot of class. Anyway, so he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I have a job. This and that. He goes, I want you to start smicha. I want you to go for smicha. I remember letting out the biggest laugh ever. Like, smicha me? Rebbe, you don't know who I am. And he says, I want you to go to smicha. I said, I'm not a rabbi. Like, I'm not rabbi material. And I always remember the words that he said. He says, oh, I'm sorry, because you tried it? And you were a rabbi and it didn't work out? That's why? You tried it? You were a rabbi? And I was so scared, but he was being nervous. He says, how do you know? He says, how do you know what you'll use it for? What your expectations? I'm going to go for smicha, and that means I have to be a pulpit rabbi? That means, who knows? Now, I believe that the real reason why he wanted me to go for smicha was totally different. He wanted me to keep up with my learning, because it's very vigorous. When you're going for smicha, it's very, very difficult. We were learning, and we were a group of guys. It was an unbelievable experience, because for over 4 years, every other night, we were learning for hours, and we had shir with Rav Aaron. It was amazing. And he was, of course, he was right. Because what happened? I went for smicha, never think I was going to use it for anything. And I gave a shiur in over here when I lived in Bergenfield. Surprisingly, I go back now and kept giving the shiur the weeks I was in. And then all of a sudden, Yeshiva Leva Torah came up, unbeknownst to anybody, and I started teaching. And then I left Leva Torah. And then I said, okay, see, I was right, my expectation. I'm not going to use smich. Oh, no. And I said to Rabbi Boaz, I want to keep my makom. How much will it cost me? And he said, you have to give shiur in Yeshiva. I said, okay, I'll get. So I give lessons from the lave, and I give shiur over here, and then I go to this shiur and that shiur. Who knows? And unfortunately, this is just a bad thing, but because I have rabbi in front of my name, so, you know, guys, you know, give me a little bit more cover if I just came in and said I would know. But so Rav Aaron was right, the expectation. What, you think smicha has to be for... No. Again, let's review. Yaakov leaves. The reason Rashi says, shvacho shel makom, it was a great thing because he was leaving a place, it wasn't great for that place, but he had to leave that place. There was a roshem that he had on the place. And we learned the Beis HaLevi, there were two reasons for leaving and for going. Listening to his mother, listening to his father, and the reasons why he had to do that. The reason of the stipler, that we go to yeshiva, we go to seminary, we go to our experience for two reasons. The reason is that what the influence will be, to move, go, get away from what the influence or the negative influences that were in the hometown that we came from, and to gain Torah, spiritual knowledge, to gain midos tovos, and all those wonderful things that take it with us, and our expectations shouldn't be that high. Because you never know what you're going to get out of it that's going to be positive. A guy leaves yeshiva and says, you know what? Gemara is not really my thing, but you know what's my thing now? I'm ish chesed. I love Tanakh. I'm going to finish all Mishnayos. I'm going to do Daf Yomi. And of course, to me, the most important part of it is that what will this, how this will affect spiritually the rest of your life. Who you are in college. You're going to be that guy that goes to Minyan when you have to struggle because there are 3,000 people on your campus who could potentially be going to Minyan and you're amongst the 30 people that go. And by finals time, the 11 that go, including a few women. But who are? Because you had that spiritual moment. Mirza Shem, with that, we should take that our spiritual moments should influence our lives forever and ever. So that we all bring nachas ruach to Ribbono Shalom, nachas ruach to our parents, nachas ruach to everybody, to your Rebbeim, and all those, and that your expectations shall all be fulfilled, mishalos libeinu letova, in all and every way.